Turn your Bibles this morning to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We'll be reading two verses, verses 26 and 27. I'll read verse number 26, and then you'll join with me, if you would, please, on verse number 27. Be 1 and 2 Kings, then 1 and 2 Chronicles, be in chapter number 20. If you found that, please stand in honor of reading of God's Word. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, beginning verse number 26. And on the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Berakah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place was called the Valley of Berakah unto this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And let's pray again. Father, so good to be in your house. Father, I pray that your grace, as we sang about, is sufficient. Father, we need you this morning. We need the Holy Spirit power to come upon. Lord, what a great day it was yesterday. And Father, we come today. I do pray that you bless the Baker family. I do think of the Wessons again this week. I pray you'd help them and bless them. Give us a good day. In your name we pray. Amen.
I was discouraged when no answer came, for I'd prayed for years and I still saw no change. I was ready to give up, thinking, what can I do? But when I prayed that last time, God's power broke through. And prayer is just as big as God is. Prayer is just as strong as God is strong. Prayer can reach as far as God can reach. Don't ever give up. Just pray, just pray. Don't ever give up. Just pray. We have been given a means to the throne of the God whose potential is yet to be known. There is no limit as to what God can do. So just keep on praying. He's listening to you. And prayer is just as big as God is. Prayer is just as strong as God is strong. Prayer can reach as far as God can reach. Don't ever give up. Just pray, just pray. Don't ever give up. Just pray. And prayer is just as big as God is. Prayer is just as strong as God is strong. Prayer can reach as far as God can reach. Don't ever give up. Just pray, just pray. Don't ever give up. Just pray.
Wow, that's for, thank you, Brother Scott. Whew. Wonderful, wonderful song. Spirit of God, that was on that song. That's great. Preaching on valleys last Sunday morning, and the Valley of Shava, and Abraham runs into the king of Sodom, and the king of Sodom is going to try to make up for all that Abraham did to help him, but Abraham doesn't need anything from the king of Sodom because he'd already had a meeting in the same valley with King Jesus, Melchizedek. He got everything he needed from Christ. Didn't need anything from Sodom. Nothing. Today I want to talk about the Valley of Baraka. You see it there, and Mike and I, and by the way, I'm glad he prayed for the Wesson family. That was the other name I was trying to come up with a little while ago, but he's much younger than I am, so he came up with that name. The funeral was Friday. I understand it was really, I really wanted to go, but just didn't work with yesterday's meetings. But don't forget to pray for the Wesson family, Joy, and the children. And by the way, church, the Spanish church added to our offering, so we were able to send, I think, $1,200 to the Wesson family on Thursday. So that was a blessing. The Valley of Baraka, that's how we're going to pronounce it. Mike and I agreed that however it came out with his reading was how we were going to say it, okay? So, Baraka. So anyway, let's pray. Father, we're grateful. It's so good this morning. The messages in song have spoken to my heart, and I believe the hearts of the people. And now we're open the book. The book is greater than the song. And so we pray that the book might be glorified, lifted up, magnified, and Jesus might be exalted, and we all might be helped, and the Spirit of God would give us His power. We'd all go home, Lord, to some degree, touched by what You tell us today. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name and amen. Now, there's something beautiful about majestic mountains. I was reminded of that on our last trip just a few days ago, a week and a half ago, whatever it was, a couple weeks down to South Carolina. We go through the Smokies, just the foothills of the Smokies. Well, actually, more than that, go through Asheville. You're in the Smokies. But, you know, from where my brother's house is, you can see the foothills in the distance. And there's something that's mighty majestic about the mountains to me. The Rockies and the Alps that we had the privilege to see when we were visiting Ben and his family in France years ago during language school. That's hard to beat for me personally. But valleys have their own particular beauty as well. And you know, I was thinking about this. When you're driving through the mountains, they'll have a little cutout. You'll see a sign on the side of the road that says scenic view. And you know, a mile ahead, you pull off, they have a little place there. Well, the view is not of another mountain. The view is of the valley. And you stop and you look down in the valley, and there's this beautiful, you know, fertile valley, and maybe dotted with a couple of houses and fields, and maybe a little creek or a river snaking through the bottom of that valley. And you stand there, and you're in the middle of the mountains, you're looking down in the valley, and it's like, wow, that's beautiful. So valleys have their own particular beauty. So valleys don't have to always necessarily be associated with trouble or with despair or with difficulty. Now, because this, the valley that we're going to talk about this morning isn't about that at all. The Valley of Baraka. Now, let me give Jehoshaphat and his people gathered together in the Valley of Baraka. And the name has a twofold meaning. The primary meaning of the name Baraka means blessing. So he's in the valley of blessing. And then the secondary meaning is bending the knee. Bending the knee. So they're in this valley that has the meaning of blessing and bending the knee. And in the valley of blessing, he and his people blessed the Lord. They were not necessarily blessed in this valley as much as they blessed the Lord. I'll get to that. Their blessing came prior to them being in this valley. Okay? So they're in this valley, the Valley of Baraka, and they're bending the knee, they're rejoicing, they're praising God because God had given them a tremendous, improbable victory, which we just heard a song about how big God is. He's capable of doing that. Now, let me give you the setting briefly here, just kind of zip down through this passage. In verses 1 and 2, there is a great multitude. The enemy is gathered against Jehoshaphat and the kingdom of Judah, this great multitude, it says in verse number 2, okay? You got the Moabites and the Ammonites and some other folks there as well. So you got this great big army, this enemy that had gathered against Jehoshaphat and Judah. Well, Jehoshaphat got people together in verses 3, 4, and 5. And he proclaimed the time of prayer and fasting. He said, let's get together, let's pray, and let's fast. That's in verses 3, verses 5. And then a prayer. He made a prayer, and that's recorded in verses 6 through 13. And you have Jehoshaphat there praying to God. And when you look at the end of verse 13, look at there, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. So you got the entire family unit here together, okay? They're all together. His great enemy has come against them. And Jehoshaphat said, we need to fast and pray. And then he prayed publicly, and that's his prayer, verses 6 through 13. And then in verses 14 through 17, God gives him a message, gives them a message through one of the prophets. And this prophet began to preach this message to Jehoshaphat and the people. And the message promised victory. I'm hurrying because I want to get to my points. And then we'll go back through this a little bit. Verses 18 and 19, after they heard the man's message, they worshiped God. His message was encouraging. His message was uplifting. So they began to worship God. And in verses 20 through 24, records what they did. They were going to do some things in preparation for facing the enemy. And in the text that we read, verses 25, 26, and 27, they meet in the valley because God has given the victory. You see that in verse number 25. And when they come up upon the enemy's already dead. God's already, are you listening, fought the battle. He's already fought it. They thought they were going to fight it, but he'd already fought it. And so they're all dead, and they're delivered from the enemy. And in verses 26 and 27, they go into the valley of Baraka, and they begin to worship God and bless God and praise God in the valley of Baraka. Now, this is an encouraging passage for several reasons. But I think especially so because of one particular phrase in the passage found in verse number 12. Look at what it says here. Jehoshaphat is praying. He's toward the end of this prayer. And he says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. And here's the phrase that encourages me. Neither know we what to do. He said, how's that encouraging? Because you ever been there? I don't know what to do. This book is real. Okay? This book is relevant. Okay? It's not outlived its usefulness. They know what to do. And yet, folks, they didn't know what to do, but somehow, without knowing what to do, they ended up in the Valley of Blessing. Somehow. So they go from not knowing what to do to just a few verses later, praising God and blessing God in the Valley of Baraka, the Valley of Blessing. Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever not known what to do? We've all been there. Probably be there again in life. We're in a dilemma, a heavy dilemma, and because of it, because of this dilemma, a set of circumstances whatsoever, you're literally bankrupt of knowing what to do. Well, that's where they were. They didn't know what to do. He'd done the best he could. He got them all together. Let's fast and pray. But God, beyond this point, I don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what to do. And from there, just a few verses later, they're in the valley of blessing with joy and rejoicing, worshiping God. So, here's what I want to learn from it for us this morning. What to do when you don't know what to do? How do you go from not knowing what to do to get to the valley of blessing? Well, let's look at it. Very simple. Number one, they look to God. Now look at verse number 12. Again, we read it just a moment ago. After he says, neither know we what to do, he says this, but our eyes are upon thee. Now, Lord, I don't know what to do. We don't know what to do, but we are looking to you. We don't know what to do, but the reason we're looking to you, and the reason we're looking to you is because you know what we need to do. And we don't know, but you do. As simple as it may sound, people, there is always merit in keeping your eyes on God when you don't know what to do. Keep your eyes on God. Always. That's a difficult thing for some people, men especially. We have an ego, and that ego likes for us to believe that we always can figure out something to do. Something we can do, and if we can't figure it out, there's always YouTube. You know what? I've done some amazing things with my hands just following a video on YouTube. Save myself some money. But there's sometimes when even YouTube can't help. You don't know what to do. And all you really can do is what they did. Look to God. He said, oh, it's too simple. Well, turned out pretty good for them. There really is nothing small or humiliating about keeping your eyes on God when you're in a tight spot, when you're in a confusing time, when circumstances leave us helpless. This attitude of our eyes are upon Thee is a good approach to take when you're in one of those particular situations or circumstances. Keep your eyes on God. Keep looking. We don't know what to do, but we're looking to You because one thing's for certain, You do know what to do. So keep your eyes on God. Keep your eyes on God sounds simplistic. But He does know what is going on. And when we don't know what to do, it is sure a blessing that He knows exactly what we should do. Now, what does it mean to look to God? How do you break that down? Is that what He did? Well, I don't know exactly. But let me explain it this way. On our trip to South Carolina last summer, not this year, but last summer, you know, you got kids coming from different places. Alan and Abby came from Iowa, and they came by way of Louisville, Kentucky, and that area. And they got stopped. They got the little baby girl. They got stopped, I think, two times, maybe three, in construction delays that lasted as long as 2.5 hours. They don't have smartphones. And so they were frazzled by the time they got there. You can imagine, you know, traveling with a baby. We had an 11 and a half hour trip that turned into 15 hours because 275 outside of Cincinnati and 65 north of Indianapolis were both closed because of traffic accidents, both directions, and we had to detour around. It took 15 hours to get home. But, you know, we don't have a crying little baby. We have a crying 18-year-old, but we don't have a little crying little baby. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we home yet? No, I wouldn't. So they're just, you know, and they're already talking about the trip home. Well, we have smartphones. And so we said, you know what? Call us. And so they started on the road. They don't have a smartphone. They started on the way home. They were going to be, okay, how does this interstate look? And, you know, we got on our smartphones, and we had the app there that does that, you know, and shows you the construction traffic and the accidents and where it's backed up, and it's green, and it's yellow, and it's orange, and it's red, and all this, you know, and you can see it. I said, well, man, get off at this exit. Looks like you need to get off at this exit and go catch State Highway, whatever number it was, and follow it for about 10 miles, and then you'll find this road, and you can bypass all this. You know what they were doing? They were looking to us. We were their eyes. They couldn't see the traffic backups. We could. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know how it was ahead of them. What's ahead? I don't know what to do. Should I go this way? Should I not go this way? No, don't go that way. Go this way. Turn left. Turn right. Make this U-turn. Go back and catch this road. We were their eyes. And people, when you get in one of those situations where you don't know what to do and you want to go from there to the valley of blessing, the first thing you do is just look. You keep your eyes. Look to God. Look to God. Christians look to God. They look to God. They don't look to Dr. Phil. They don't look to, you know, they don't look to Hollywood psychobabble. Christians look to God. Okay, that's what they do. So they look to God. But now, wait a minute. Not only did they look to God, number two, they listened to the preaching of God's Word. Now, look at verse 14 and 15. So in verse 13, in verse 12, he finishes his prayer by saying this. Oh, God, we don't know what to do, but we're looking to You. Now, get the picture here. Live this, okay? Live it. This is not a fable. This is not some story tale. Here's Jehoshaphat and all of Judah. They're men, women, and children. And this huge enemy out here, this humongous army. And they don't know what to do. So, God, we're here. We fasted. We prayed. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on You. Then, verse 14. Upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and He said, "Hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you," and He goes into a message from God. He begins to preach. God's Spirit came upon Jehaziel, and he began to preach, and boy, did he have some good things to say. Now, this is this is the most exciting part of this little Bible study message. Do you know what Jehaziel's name means? Seeing God. Seeing God. So here they are, Jehoshaphat and all of his people, and they are in such a dilemma, they don't know what to do. They confess that to, "I don't know what to do, but we're going to look to you. Our eyes are upon thee." Their vision is clouded. There is no crystal clear, high definition view of God. Their vision is dimmed because of the circumstances. "God, we can't see our way, but we are looking to you." And all of a sudden, this prophet begins to preach, "Thus saith the Lord." Whoa! Man, I'm studying this and reading this through, and I had to get out of the chair and walk around. I love it. And he preaches, and his message is full of encouragement. Look at verse number 15. He says, "Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Is that encouraging? Absolutely. It's filled with hope. Verse number 15. It's filled with instruction. Verse number 16. Look at it. "Tomorrow." Here's what you do. You don't know what to do? Let me tell you what to do. "Go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by their cliffs." This is for soul. It's a message of victory. Verse 17, "Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, see the salvation of the Lord." And on he goes, "Nor fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." Folks, can you live this? Can you imagine how they felt? Here they are standing helplessly in the midst of a circumstance that left them completely confused, not knowing what to do. So they did the only smart thing to do. They looked to God, and, "Lord, our eyes upon you." And then, wham, this prophet starts to preach, because for the moment, the prophet can see God clearly. They can't, he can. He has clear, crystal clear, high definition picture and vision of God. They don't, he does. And he begins to preach to them this message. Now, people, I know this is far too simplistic for some folks, and the truth is, it's far too spiritualistic for others. But I will tell you, God, if that's even a word, I'm not sure that's a word, but I made it up. All right, spiritual. I am a preacher. That's what I am. But I'm not hesitant to say this morning. I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm not lifting myself up in any kind of inordinate position whatsoever. God speaks through His preachers at times when we need somebody to see clearly for us. He speaks through His prophets. That's not done. That's today. Now, let me ask you a question. Is it really that humiliating that God would give someone else clear vision of Himself when our own vision is cloudy? Is it that humiliating? Shouldn't be. Because down through time, that's how God has helped His people. Well, that's Old Testament. How about a New Testament example? You know what this is called? You know what Jehaziel has? He has perception. He can see. That's what his name means. Seeing God. Jehoshaphat doesn't have it. Doesn't mean he's a bad guy. It means for the moment he's confused. For the moment he doesn't know what to do. He admitted it. But at the moment he didn't know what to do, God gave the other man clear vision. Clear sight. Here's Paul the apostle. He's appealed his case to Caesar in Rome. He's traveling there to Rome. He goes by the way of an Alexandria, and they put him on a ship, and they're in the harbor. And Paul says, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading, the tackling, the goods, and the ship, but also of our lives." God gave Paul that clear vision. The ship owner couldn't see it. The centurion couldn't see it. Those around Paul couldn't see it. But God gave Paul clear vision. Didn't mean Paul was better than anybody else. It meant for the moment, Paul could see clearly when others could not. And you know the sad thing about it is the owner of the ship didn't believe Paul. And you know what happened? Disaster. I would be careful if I'm in a situation where I don't know what to do and somehow, some way, through a message, through a Sunday school lesson, God speaks through some prophet, through some preacher about the situation and gives clear direction. I would be careful to go against that. It doesn't mean, folks, it doesn't mean there's a hierarchy. There's no caste system with God. There's no peasant group of people. We all have the Holy Spirit. If we're saved, we all have the Holy Spirit. We all have access to the throne room of God. It just means there are times when we can't see clearly and God gives somebody else clear sight for us. Learn. Take it. Does the perception of a man of God mean anything to you? It should. Because that's how God gives clear direction to people when there is no direction. I am always encouraged, and I've had this happen lately two or three times. I'm always encouraged to hear one of our members tell me, "You know, Pastor, I'm just going through one of those times where I'm a little bit confused. I don't know what to do, and I've been listening to preaching." And boy, when I hear that, my ears always perk up. Because I think, man, I say, thank God. You get a good Bible-based preaching from a man of God that's going the same direction you are. And friend, you can get real help in time of confusion from a Bible-based message. I was thinking about, in fact, we were talking about this, my wife and I, the other day. You know, now we're, you know, what are we, 8 grandkids into this thing and 3 on the way. And, you know, so our kids are having these little children, and our kids, they call once in a while, and this is going on, and this is going on. What should we do about this, and what should we do about that? What did you ever do with us when we were little? You know, they don't remember when they were little. How did you handle this situation? I get those questions. My wife gets those questions. She was asked one the other day by one of the married women. What do you do? What do you do in this situation? And Joyce and I were talking about this. You know, we have some experience to give them based on what we did. But we were talking about why did we do what we did. I'll tell you why. Because for 9 years, we sat under the preaching of a man of God who took the Bible and from time to time would deal with the family. And even when he didn't deal with the family, there were principles. I sat right back there for 10 years and 9 of those 10 years had children and listened to him preach the truth of God's Word. And she and I went home and put to practice what we heard the preacher preach from the Word of God. And I'll tell you something, friend, we didn't get hurt by it. Now we can pass it down to our kids. Times that we didn't know what to do with kids. What are you doing in this situation? Well, you know, isn't that amazing? Brother Brown preached a whole message on this. So we go home. What's worshiping a man? You're a nutcase. I'll tell you what. No. You do what the doctor says. You're a nutcase. You know what this so-and-so says. But we wouldn't dare take anything the preacher says from the Bible home and practice it. Because we don't want to worship a man. Cuckoo! Cuckoo! That's what they did. Come on. We don't know what to do. thus saith the Lord. Oh, okay. That's what happened here. And they started to preach, this man begins to preach the message of God, and it's like, whoa, bingo, here we go. So they look to God, and they listen to the preaching of God's Word. Number three, what time is it? I hate these glasses. I can't see. Isn't that a blessing? I don't know what time it is. Amen. Number three. I think it says 11:25. I think it says 11. Number three. I'm just teasing. Number three. They acted on principle. Now, you got to see this in the Scripture here, okay? Let me find it. I am having trouble with these glasses. I got to go back to the eye doctor again. But let me find it here. And I wrote it down. Verse 20. Now, so they hear this guy preach. And so in verses, you know, he preaches down through verse number 18. And then Jehoshaphat, you know, after the message is over, Jehoshaphat bows his head to the ground and they worship God. Now look at verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. Now this is the next morning. One morning, 24 hours earlier, they didn't know what to do. But they kept their eyes on God, and all of a sudden, as they were looking to God, a preacher began to preach, a prophet began to preach, and now it's the next morning. Okay? 24 hours later, went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem." Now, don't miss this. "Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." Now, here we go. He's the leader, right? So here's the king. 24 hours after they're standing there not knowing what to do, then the preacher preaches. Now it's 24 hours the next morning, and the people are still, okay, the people are still in this mode of, what are we going to do? And you know what Jehoshaphat says? We're going to believe God, or we're going to believe what his preacher told us. We're going to believe God, and we're going to believe what his preacher told us. They acted on principle. The principle is you can believe God and you can believe, here's the key word, his prophets. Now, there's a lot of prophesying that's not biblically based. But brother, on that morning when that Jehaziel began to preach, it was from God. And Jehoshaphat said, hey, you know, in essence what he was saying, he was saying, okay, Judah, down through history, whenever people have believed God and believed his preachers and acted on the principle of we're going to trust God and we're going to trust what the preaching of the Word of God is, they prospered, they were blessed. And that's what he said. That's exactly what we are going to do. We know we can believe God. We know we can believe his prophets. So we're going to trust him, trust that what this prophet said from God is the truth. And you know what? They acted on principle. And then when they got to the side of the battle, it's over. It's over. Now look, those of you who have gone to church here for these years know I do not promote myself as this wonderful counselor, this wise sage. You know, don't let the gray hair fool you. That's building programs. In Christian schools and six kids. I'm no wise sage. Okay, I don't promote myself as that at all. I don't want to be your counselor to tell you what color carpet to buy. I don't want to be your counselor to tell you what chiropractor to go to. I don't want to be your counselor to tell you whether or not you should take a certain medicine. I wouldn't dare do that. I don't want that. All I want is for you to give me a good hearing when I bring you a Bible-based message. Especially when you don't know what to do. And you got a choice to make. We can either follow the advice that came out of the pastor's mouth from the Word of God, or we can just do what we think is best. So you're lifting yourself up. If that's what you think, I can't change your mind. I'm not lifting myself up. I gave you a Bible example where a bunch of folks stood around and said, what do? We don't know what to do. God help us. OK. Okay? You ask for it, bang. Did you ever come to church? I get asked this question. Did you follow me around this week? Yeah. I didn't get a question. Did so-and-so talk to you?
No.
Yeah, so-and-so talked to me. It's called the Spirit of God. Because I sit down in the recliner, I've had my Bible reading, I've got some things in my mind, but dear God, what? Folks, where are we going next Sunday morning? That's 7 days from now. I got to find out from God where we're going next Sunday morning. I got to find that out this week. I'm not asking you to worship a man. I'm asking you to give God's Word a hearing and act on principle. The principle is that when you look to God because you don't know what to do, and the pastor or preacher or somebody else deals with the very same subject, hello? Here's a principle for all age groups. Here's a principle for middle-aged couples whose kids are starting to get married and go off to college. Here's a principle for young couples who are just birthing babies, and here's a principle for men who are in situations. We have at least two men in our church right now who are on the downhill side, if you will. They're not old, but they're not in their 30s, and their work world has been tossed upside down. You don't want your work world tossed upside down in your 50s or 60s. Supposed to be settled and working a few more years and retire. And sometimes they don't know what to do. And people facing health situations, and I don't know what to do. And people in this, I don't know what to do. Young couples rearing children, I don't know what to do. Okay, are you there? How do you go from there to the valley of blessing where you look back and say, boy, God, you gave us the victory. You look to God. You listen to counseled preaching from God's Word, and act on principle. Act on it. For instance, if you're here this morning and you don't know for sure where you're going when you die, you're confused. If it's heaven or hell, you don't know. Where am I going to spend eternity? You don't know. All right? Look to God. And then let me tell you from the Word of God that Jesus Christ came to this earth for the purpose of dying, shedding His blood, was buried, and rose again the third day to make it so that you could be saved and go to heaven. And what you need to do is trust Christ. Now, act on principle. If you don't know where you're going when you die, and you got a Bible message that says Jesus died for your sins so that you could be forgiven of your sins, all of your sins, washed clean, and have eternal life in heaven forever and ever, if that's then act on it. Trust Christ. Trust Christ. And if you are saved, and you're in one of those situations where all you can do is say, God, I don't know what to do, but I'm going to look to You. Well, don't be surprised if somewhere in the next little while, God gives you a message from His book. And when He does, act on it. Act on it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You for these folks to hear this morning. I pray that You'll bless this message. I pray that You'll bless all of us to move from that time in life when we don't know what to do, those times, to the valley of blessing. Help us to look to You, to listen to Your Word, to act on principle once we hear it. That's my prayer this morning. Bless the people that were here to hear the message in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Who would say today, Pastor, God spoke to me through the message. This is the message that I really needed to hear to help me. I am convinced God's had it for my ears this morning, my heart. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up this morning wherever you are? God bless you. I see your hand. God bless you. Amen. Thank you. Take your hands down. Anybody else this morning? Say, I should have raised my hand then. Is there anybody here today that you're not sure that you're saved? You're not sure that heaven is your home? You are confused about that? No certainty, no assurance that you're going to heaven someday? Pastor Angel, I don't know where I'm going when I die. That's me. Would you please pray for me? Not by name, but just remember me in your closing prayer, because I don't know where I'm going when I die. Would you lift your hand if you're like that here this morning? Would you slip it up? Let me just say, God bless this man. God bless this woman, this young person. Anybody like that today? Side to side, front to back. All right? I hope you know that you're saved. If you're saved, you've never been baptized, I hope that you'll come and follow the Lord in believer's baptism, join the church if you've spoken with us about that issue. And more than that, just look to God, listen to preaching, act on principle. You can move from not knowing what to do to the valley of Baraka. Blessing. Father, thank you for your word. Speak to our hearts with it this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, give us an invitation hymn, if you will. I hope that you'll step out, come this morning, respond as the Spirit of God has spoken to your heart. Many hands were lifted. Don't be shy about coming. We want you to spend some time at the altar, if that's you this morning, while we wait.